Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Discover a healthcare team that's always here for you at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Now, traditionally, Ireland was a nation of growers, builders and crafters, self-sufficient in our daily lives, not relying on global markets or the commercial world to get by. But how many of those traditional skills and crafts have been lost? And have they a role to play in our modern lives if we're to move towards a more sustainable future? Well, those were some of the questions raised at Rekindle, a festival of lost skills held in Ennisdiamond in County Clare recently. And our reporter, John Cook, was there. So tell us more, John.
It all sounds very serious like that, Claire, but it really was a great day of family fun and old time nostalgia here as well, with some really inspiring ideas and interesting thoughts coming from the sights and sounds of many traditional crafters and hardworking grafters, reminding us how things were done many years ago at the Courthouse Gallery in Ennisdiamond, where the Rekindle Festival of Lost Skills was held for its second year. The event is organised by Common Knowledge, a non-profit social enterprise group based nearby. Their mission: to share practical skills with others for a sustainable, affordable and happy home. And they run lots of practical skills training, like an introduction to building skills course I attended last year. One of the Common Knowledge co-founders is Australian eco-builder Harrison Gardner, who'll be familiar to many of our listeners from his recent television series Build Your Own Home. And as I made my way through the craft stalls and musicians at the festival, I asked Harrison what Rekindle is all about.
You know, Rekindle's about us all moving forward together as a community, but learning from all the amazing things that we've experienced in the past, learning all the lessons that we need to carry forward, and also learning the lessons of things we don't want to bring with us. And looking at that in a very practical sense, with things like handmade furniture or handmade boats or preserved meats or homemade cooking, whatever it is, these are things that, as we move forward in this very efficient, fast-moving culture that we seem to be striving for all the time, they're in danger of getting lost. And Rekindle is a day to take a moment and recalibrate on what's important and what we should be focusing on and who we should be celebrating as well.
Elizabeth O'Connor is my name. I'm from County Limerick. I've been adopted here by a most gorgeous group of spinners in County Clare.
You are the Midwest spinners. I see these traditional old wooden spinning wheels everywhere and people frantically working here. Tell me what you're doing.
So we're turning fibre of various sorts into an actual yarn that you can weave or knit or crochet with. I myself then have some flax here. So this is processed flax, which when I spin it then will become linen thread, you know. And I'm going to put this onto, I think, called a distaff in there.
It's
now.
Like
shortly.
Hair.
It's like
that's
hair.
That's what it feels like.
Yes, and if you think of stories like Rumpelstiltskin and the flax and hair and the girls and the stories always had flax and hair, this is where they're getting it from, the flax, you know.
Elizabeth, do you think there's a more of a place for these kind of traditional arts now as we look towards environmental sustainability? You say you see younger people interested in this.
Oh, yes, absolutely. And there really is a place for it because, as I say, people are beginning to understand the problems with fast fashion and not just the air miles it has, but the sort of the attitude people have of throwing things away, and then it's synthetic fibres, so you're just adding to the pollution and everything, plus the working conditions of the people who are producing it. So this is different than when you actually can use things that are produced locally and create items that will last, and I see people interested in that. There's a big revival in the amount of people coming for lessons, looking for demos, looking for spinning wheels. The interest
not
is
such
there.
A dying art after all.
No, we're definitely I pinch myself up from off and say, am I dying? No, I'm not dying, and neither is my spinning.
Certainly not. Elizabeth O'Connor there of the Midwest Spinner. So what kind of other skills were on display at Rekindle, John?
Well, there was also wood turning, Claire, boat building, water divining, as well as blacksmithing, basket making, foraging, lots of needlework and lace craft as well. There were organic food stalls, lots of traditional music and storytelling, and presentations on moving away from a disposable society towards reskilling more people, including ourselves, on how to repair appliances and machinery. All great ideas, you might say, but obviously time consuming and less convenient than many of our modern day consumer habits. So I was interested to find out if many of the crafters I met were saving or making money from their skills or turning to them as alternatives to environmentally damaging materials and practices like fast fashion, starting with Mary Magner and her friends from the Loophead Knitters Group. I asked them first how long they've been knitting.
Yes, I've knitted since I was about 6 years old.
And yourself?
No, I only started in lockdown, so I'm still a beginner.
Do you knit for yourself? Do you knit for family? What do you make?
Mostly for myself. Jumpers at the moment, really.
And what have you made?
Quite a lot of hats and scarves, because they're easy.
Uh-huh, they're good presents too for people.
Yeah, and like everyone gets hats and scarves.
And they should be glad of them as well. Is there a good age spread in your group, or are people still taking up knitting, or is it a lost skill?
No, it's kind of been rekindled again now, like in that, because you can notice where a lot of some younger women, they'd be more interested in kind of starting to do it again, like in that, yeah. They're more interested in kind of having one, because it's unique. There's no two the same, really, because you'll change colour, you'll change pattern or stitch, and it's like, what you get is a unique one for everyone, like in that, you know. Like, to have a hand-knitted jumper, you have it for years, or a hat or that, like, you know, it doesn't shrink in the wash, like, anymore, because it's a wool acrylic mixture. It's not a lost tradition now, like in that.
Much better than your fast fashion, so you'd say.
Oh, definitely, like it's warmer, it's more comfortable wearing, like, and it's hard wearing as well.
Okay, Michael Foody.
What is it you're doing here? Because you've lovely baskets and weaved craft in front of me.
Yeah, I'm just doing some of the old craft of making baskets back through the years.
What looks like a traditional shopping basket to a hanging basket.
A hanging basket.
What are they made of?
They're made from they're willows. Willows, orchards, they're about the same thing. They're made for those. You pick them and you season those. And after a couple of months, then you're ready to make a basket.
And do you use them yourself at home, or are you selling now? Is this a business?
There is no business in craft. Because first of all, you can't make money out of the basket. For the simple reason, there's too much stuff imported. You can buy baskets there around 35, 40 euros, which came from China, and you can't compete with those. So you don't make money in making baskets. But it's lovely to give classes. I'd be really delighted when I see people going out the door and they have a basket made and they're real happy with it.
My name is Gerhard. I am the friendly farrier from Kinvara.
The friendly farrier.
Yeah. I live here in Ireland for 20 years now. I pair the donkeys and ponies' hoofs, and every now and then I shoe a horse as well. Unfortunately, there are less and less farriers around, so the work for us is getting more and more.
So you fear you are a dying breed?
Yeah, I think young people nowadays have to learn again that working with your hands sometimes is much more fulfillment than working with anything else. Mm-hmm. Nowadays it's all about, I have to earn a lot of money, I have to earn a lot of money. As a farrier, I can tell you can earn an awful lot of money.
Okay, I'm impressed now.
He earns a lot of money because there aren't enough of them around. Isn't that the problem,
that
John?
Is it. He told me, by the way, he said, if anybody wants to be a farrier, you'll be the only person at a job interview, Claire, so you're a shoo-in.
Now, he's making a bit of money for those traditional skills, obviously, but for other people, including our weaver we heard earlier, a basket weaver, it's something that they really enjoy passing on. So what do you think, John? Can the lost skills be rekindled?
Some of them perhaps, and some of them have to be, I was told, Claire. We owe it to future generations. Many of those sharing their skills and knowledge at the event told us that without these, we are heading for environmental extinction. When you look at how our modern living methods and consumerism impact on climate change and the loss of biodiversity through modern farming and forestry methods that have sacrificed our birds and bees, for instance. Local teacher and gardener Tom Barry spoke really passionately about this as he launched the Rekindle Festival of Lost Skills, because now retired, Tom still looks after an orchard of around 130 apple trees. And among many other skills on the day he was sharing, what I found most interesting about my chat with Tom was the idea that not only would we be helping save the planet if we look to past traditions for modern living practices and making and doing things ourselves with our own hands and hard work, we might also be happier, Claire, and more fulfilled in our lives, given, he said, how resourceful and content people were in the past.
The skills they had as well, you know, the ploughing, the thatching, they could do all themselves.
We were self-sufficient.
Self-sufficient,
we're
yes.
Not now.
Yes, not now. But also, crucial thing is that the activities, that the things they did, they had great value in their skills, and they took great satisfaction out of doing it, you see. And this led them to be very happy in themselves and grounded. They weren't anxious about anything. They didn't fear anything. They didn't have complexes and, you know, they didn't worry about anything. They were wonderful people in that sense.
So we've lost more than the skills, is
yes,
what you're saying.
Yes, 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 yes. The changes, of course, have brought great comfort. It's marvellous. But there is a world we have lost. And there was a lot of wisdom in that world. And I think it's useful if people like myself, and there are a lot of people around who have these skills of mowing with scythes and building, thatching, that those skills are passed on. Because a lot of young people are interested. They see, you know, using what's around you without doing violence to the environment or without depleting the earth's resources, that this is important.
There are great sounds, sights, beautiful smells as well here, of great food as well. This is a lovely day out for people, and they love looking at traditions and crafts that maybe they would associate with childhood or the past. Are they something that people, you think, actually might bring with them or embrace in their future, that people would actually take on these lost skills and give them life again?
Absolutely. I think for so many people, they've never seen these skills actually being practiced before. We have participants here spinning wool for the first time in their life and starting to understand the process of going from the sheep to the jumper that keeps you warm. And that's a special thing, that if you're never given that opportunity to learn that skill and to see how it's done, you will never touch it again in your life. But just from this day, the idea is to plant seeds for people. Plant seeds of ideas and inspiration, of things that they might like to start doing or might like to be a part of in the future. Whether it's how to build a house or how to build furniture or how to mend our clothes, Ireland has all those skills and it's celebrated around the world for that. But here on the ground, we're in danger of forgetting it or letting it go. And so we would love to see this idea spread across the whole country.
And the last voice you heard there was Harrison Gardner, and the music was from local musicians playing The Humours of Ennis Diamond, ending John Cook's report. Thank you very much, John. And if you want to get some further information, ourcommonknowledge.org is a place you can go to find out about those lost skills, although some of them are not lost, as we heard. Now, some news I see coming into us. Irish Life Health has announced an average increase of 5% on all of its health insurance premiums from the 1st of July. And they say they're rising their prices due to a very significant increase in the volume and size of claims, coming on the back of a substantial increase in demand for healthcare services, particularly in private and high-tech hospitals. So perhaps we're seeing high demand on our public health system and people are moving to use the private healthcare system. And that is why, according to Irish Life Health, their prices are going up by 5%, which will affect a lot of people who are paying those premiums. We'll take a break. Back after this.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.